This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to a new episode of the Sports Mecca podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Abramo. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sam Hengeli. Today, we are joined by Sporting News college basketball columnist and Fox Sports bracketologist, Mike DeCourcy, to break down the first half of the 2023-24 men's college basketball season. Mike, Sam, and I appreciate the time.
Oh, well, happy to be here, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I mentioned, the introduction, midway part of the college basketball season. Really, for you, since you followed the sport, what have been some storylines that have caught your eye so far?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with Zach Edey. Pursuing a second consecutive National Player of the Year award, which would put him in the rarest of company in college basketball. I believe that if you start from the beginning of the United States Basketball Writers Player of the Year award, which is now known as the Oscar Robertson Trophy, which was first won by Oscar Robertson in 1959, if you start with him, I believe the entire list is Oscar, then Jerry Lucas, then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Walton, Pete Maravich, I left out chronologically, and Ralph Sampson. I believe that's the entire list of players that have won consecutive Oscar Robertson trophies. If you think about the history, I mean, they are all of those players rank among the 30 or 40 greatest players in the history of college basketball, and most of them rank in the 10 greatest players in the history of the game. And when I wrote a book 20 years ago about the top 100 players in college basketball history, Walton and Jabbar, well, Jabbar and Walton were one and two. So it shows you Oscar was three, I think, and Maravich was five. So it shows you the kind of territory he's entered. And it's pretty amazing. And the second thing I would say relative to the season is that the game is much more attractive. In the offseason, the NCAA Rules Committee made another attempt to change the way the charging rule is called and enforced, and it has been a spectacular success. The number of flops and guys jumping in front of driving players is, I mean, it's almost been eradicated. You still see guys charge, because if I'm defending you, Steven, and you drive the ball right through me, then they're going to call that a charge because it is a charge. But if I'm defending you and you get by me and your teammate jumps in front of you, or my teammate jumps in front of you, I should say, that's more than likely not going to be a charge, and it's not going to be called now, whereas in the past, it was called all the time. And so now we see amazing things like layups and dunks And baskets as, instead of just guys falling down on the floor. It's so much more attractive a game. I wish the third element, I wish that that introduction had happened in a year where the talent was better. This is not a great year for college basketball talent generally. I wish it were a little better, but I'll still take it. And eventually the talent will come back up. There's some terrific players coming into college basketball next year. And hopefully some of the great ones we have here will stick around for 2025.
Yeah. So I definitely want to get your thoughts on this aspect of some teams that were ranked in the preseason poll that are not having really as strong of a season as they thought. You know, Gonzaga, Arkansas, and Texas were all ranked in the preseason top 25, and they're not ranked currently. A team like Arkansas is looking like they might not even make the NCAA tournament. So, you know, give us your thoughts on those three teams.
Well, Texas is the one that vexes me the most out of that group because I thought there was a lot there. I think Dylan D'Souza's return to action was a little delayed, and probably that impacted their ability to be effective early. They did not play a great schedule, so their opportunities to win significant games out of conference were limited, and they didn't succeed much in the ones that they had. I think there's still a chance for them to come around. The Big 12 gives you lots of opportunities to beat significant teams. They've got a couple of really good wins in the last week. The Oklahoma win and the Baylor win were both huge for them. I think they got them into my mock bracket field at Fox Sports, or will most likely the next time I do it. And I do it every Tuesday and Friday of each week. So Texas, I think, although they are the ones that puzzle me the most, they also have the best opportunity to come back and be highly relevant. Gonzaga, I think, still has a chance to be very good. The problem is that, and this has been the way things have been structured for them for decades, is they have to be really ready to go from the beginning because all their toughest games are there. And they just weren't. They had a lot of new players, a lot of new roles for players who'd been there. And it just took a while. They're playing better basketball now, but they may be in a situation where to get into the NCAA field again, they'll need to win the West Coast Conference automatic bid. And that won't be easy because St. Mary's is very good. Santa Clara is pretty good. So it'll be a tough ride for them to get either back to the fringe of at-large consideration or to win the automatic bid from the West Coast Conference. Arkansas, just the transfers they brought in, just not talented enough. There's just not enough talent there. It's certainly not the coaching. Coaches don't get dumb overnight. They don't get less adept overnight. The struggles that Arkansas is having or UCLA is having, those coaches are still great coaches. They just the rosters aren't where they need to be. In the case of UCLA, it comes down to betting on international talent and the international talent just not being quite ready to succeed. And in Arkansas's case, it was betting on a series of transfers that they were not quite good enough. There were some additions they made that made me question about how successful they might be. And it has not turned out well for them, but I think they'll learn from this. And you said they probably won't make it. Look, they're not making it unless they win the SEC regular season. Maybe if they won every SEC game from here to the end of the year, went the next 6 weeks undefeated and made the championship game in the league and then and lost, probably they'd get in. But they're not going to do that. They're not good enough to do that. So they would have to have those 4 to 5 magical days in Nashville. And I don't think that's likely either.
So you mentioned the transfer portal, how the players at Arkansas picked up haven't worked in their favor. On the flip side of that, what players in the transfer portal that transferred to the transferred in their first year at their respective schools have really impressed you the most?
Well, I mean, in terms of how they have helped their teams, I would start at the top with Lance Jones at Purdue. I think that he has added dynamism and strength and experience to Purdue's backcourt. He's not shot. He makes shots. He's not a great shooter, but he'll make a shot, so you have to guard him. He could be a little bit more selective with his shooting. But he's had a really terrific year and has made them so much better. You look at Cam Spencer at UConn. They needed a shooter with all the wings they lost, two to the NBA plus Joey Calcaterra ended his college career. He ran out of eligibility, was a huge part of their championship run last year. Naheem Aline transferred to St. John, so they needed to bring in some guys to play on the perimeter. And Cam Spencer, he was at Rutgers last year. I saw him a ton at Big Ten Network, and he had a nice year and can certainly shoot the ball. But he's almost a different player now. He's more aggressive. He's more confident. He was always a good shooter, but he does more beyond just catch and shoot. So he's really helped them. Harrison Ingram has made Carolina so much better in the front court. He's allowed Armando Bacot to be more than a rebounder. Ingram is an elite rebounder as well, so that frees Bacot to do other things. So those are some right there on the top three teams in the country in the polls. You have a significant transfer contributing to each of them. So it shows you how important that element of talent acquisition has become in the college game.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For sure. Mike, so the Kansas Jayhawks start out the year as a preseason number one after signing Hunter Dickinson in the transfer portal. They have had some quality wins over Kentucky, Tennessee, and UConn. However, they have dropped a couple road games in a conference play, one to UCF and then recently to West Virginia, who is currently 7-12. How much is the lack of depth hurting KU, and what needs to happen for them to make a deep run this year?
Well, it's hurt tremendously, Sam. I mean, when you're playing almost 4-on-5 a lot of the time, it really becomes problematic. Now, they are starting to get consistent offensive contributions, and that's three games to date out of Johnny Furphy, a 6'9 shooter from Australia. They're starting to get consistent contributions for him. He's had three consecutive double-figure games. He went for 20 plus in their victory over Cincinnati on Big Monday. So it's a start in the direction of having a fifth player. And if you're going to have a fifth player out of what they have on their roster, he's the one you'd want to be able to do that, because his perimeter shooting ability has the potential to open up the court for KJ Adams to drive to cut down the lane, get that, you know, that massive strength and dynamism rolling down the lane, or for Hunter Dickinson to be more difficult to double in the post, because you've got to come from farther away. If Furphy's on his side, you're either risking him being too open and not being able to close out, or risking a post pass and having to run far to get inside. So that's a real advantage if he can be that guy. Now, defensively, he's still got a long way to go. But I think that, I think if you're going to have a problem with this group, if you're going to have a problem at one end of the floor or the other, if you're going to have a player who is not adept at one end of the court, let it be defense, because you've got an elite defensive point guard. You've got in DeJuan Harris, an elite defensive wing in Kevin McCullough. And then you've got KJ Adams, who is, as I mentioned, the most dynamic force in college basketball in terms of strength, quickness, power, physicality. He can guard multiple positions, tremendous defensive rebounder. And then you've got a 6'11", 7-foot guy in the middle who maybe he's not a great shot blocker, but he can man the position. He can make it a little more difficult to get the ball to the rim, and he can throw back a shot from time to time. So you'd want the weakness to be on off on defense. They can cover some for that. You're still going to give up a bucket or two here or there you don't want to give up. But at the other end, you might get three or four or five that the other team struggles to stop because you have Furphy on the floor effective. I think they're going in the right direction now that he's doing that.
Yeah, and also I felt like Furphy, his offense is rebounding, especially on the offensive end. He's given Gabe KU a lot of extra possessions, especially on that game on Monday. And I think that is another big thing to have as well for Kansas. Okay, so I want to talk about some, like, what jobs do you expect to open up this offseason in college basketball? And who are going to be some of the top names to look for when it comes to these head coaching vacancies?
Well, Sam, I'm never comfortable talking about hot seat and that sort of thing. It's not something I do. But I will, obviously, DePaul made a change. So comfortable talking about that. They decided to move on from Coach Stubblefield. Really good guy. It just didn't work there. I'm not a fan of moving on in the middle of the season. A lot of fans think, well, that gets us first into the market. Well, you know what? You can be in the market even if you have a coach, if you keep the same coach. Nobody can stop you from making a phone call to agents and saying, hey, would your guy be interested? We're going to make a move at the end of the year. And would your guy be interested? There's nothing stopping an athletic director from doing that. So I'm never going to be a fan of midseason changes in college sports. It's not what the mission is supposed to be, unless the coach in question does something terrible, and that did not happen here. The only terrible thing he did was he's 3-15. That's it. So that's, you know, I'm not a fan of that. But I mean, there are a lot of outstanding coaches that are out there that are not employed by choice or by chance. So you can poke around on those guys and find out, like, how interested they are in DePaul, how willing they would be to take the job. It's been a difficult job. I mean, it has not been a successful job for anyone since Joey Meyer. And Joey's success was in the 90s. So we're looking at really three decades of struggle. There have been very limited pockets. Dave Lato's first time around, he got to the tournament once, I think. Pat Kennedy had the great surge in the late 90s with Quentin Richardson. So there was that after Joey. I stand corrected. I should have mentioned that. They had some really good teams and really good success. Bobby Simmons, they had some good battles with some excellent Cincinnati teams. But since then, been very little. It'll be a question of, can you get a Bob Huggins to come out of retirement to take that job? Chris Mack, if he's going to come back, does he want to live in Chicago? It's a great place to live. But maybe it's a harder job than he sees himself in. Maybe he's going to want to wait for something that has a better recent history of success. I think DePaul obviously will have to, if they want to chase a coach at that level, probably have to, quote unquote, overpay. And what I mean by that is pay at a level that typically would not be required to get a coach of that caliber to take the job. Go heavier than that. In order to overcome your own recent history.
For sure. Who would you say right now and are the three teams that you would say are the favorites to win the title as of right now?
Carolina, Purdue, UConn. But although maybe not in that order, they just came out in that order. I think that they, you know, honestly, I'd feel a lot better about UConn if they hadn't won it a year ago. It's always hard to repeat. There are guys, you know, you don't literally play with the ring on your finger when you're out there, but there are guys on that roster who've already got one. And how badly do they want the next one? That's, you know, in their hearts, they want it, but that there's always that little bit extra for the guy who's never gotten it. So it's hard to manufacture that. There are some players on that team, Stephon Castle, for example, who were only recruits of the team that won it all. They weren't on the floor. They weren't part of the group. So his hunger may be at the level of what, say, what Carolina brings or what Purdue brings. But for the others, they're going to have to find a way to reach that, and it's not easy to get there. In professional sports, we've seen it. In college sports, we've seen it. It's just hard to get to that level again a second time. At Purdue, the question is, are they quite dynamic enough? And can they overcome the memory of the losses that they've had over the last several years? 2021, 2022, 23, they all lost to double-digit seeds. They've got to find a way to get past that. And then for Carolina, they've got the hunger because they were a bucket away in 2022. The core of that team, RJ Davis and Armando Bacot, they were a bucket away, a literal bucket away. That's it. And so they've got that. And they've added Harrison Ingram and they've added Elliott Cadeau. And so they've got guys who are both hungry and talented. It's a very, very good team. And so I think those are three very worthy candidates, and there'll be others that show themselves to be worthy over the course of the next 5-6 weeks.
For sure. And I believe there's a stat out there that I think it's like at least the last 10 national champions the next year don't get past the first weekend. I believe something like that. And then the last team to make it past the Sweet 16, I believe, was the 07 Florida Gators, who ended up winning the national title back-to-back.
Yes.
So it's definitely very hard to repeat, especially in college basketball, where you have to have the bracket to fall your way, and then like you have to have the talent and all the pieces to come in to win a championship.
It is a challenge. It's one of the most difficult events to win in sports. In the NFL, you've got to play 3 to 4 games to win a Super Bowl. Here, you got to win 6. You know, because you have the single elimination. The NBA playoffs, you have a bad night, you got to make up for it, but you can, because you've got 6 more nights. Maybe you have one bad night, one bad half in the NCAA, and you could be going home.
For sure. Mike, before we let you go, where can listeners find your stuff? And would you like to share out your social media pages?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, which I still call it Twitter, at TSN Mike. You can find me at sportingnews.com, as well as regularly on Fox Sports pregame and postgame shows discussing the NCAA tournament brackets that I do for them. We post the brackets every Tuesday and Friday early afternoon to get a fresh look at how things shake out. And then every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, I'm in the studio at Big Ten Network talking about the games that we have on our network, on the big show to wrap everything up on Saturday, and then Big Ten basketball and beyond every Sunday night. The show we've been doing for the last 13 years, or for 13 of the last 14 years on the network. We missed the pandemic, or not the pandemic year, but the 2021 year. The limited year, the COVID year, as we call it in basketball. We did not do the show that year, but we've been doing it relatively continuously for 13 years. My co-panelist, Rafael Davis, and John Beilein, the great coach from Michigan, and Rick Pizzo, our terrific host, were there every Sunday night breaking things down.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you having you on today, and we look forward to talking again soon, and thank you for your time.
Well, thanks, guys. It was a pleasure, as always. Enjoy the rest of the season, and we'll talk to you again soon.